RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lini. To conclude our program for
Voice
today,
of Indonesia
we'll
with
you
the news.
Our daily segment. That's our program
Here
summary
is the news
for today.
The headline.
This is Voice of
Indonesian
Indonesia
President
in Jakarta.
Order
Stand
on
by
anti-grab
now for
effort.
The news.
Pertamina subsidiary Petrol is dissolved. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pali. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has issued Presidential Instructions or Impres No. 7/2015 on corruption eradication. With the new regulation, Jokowi hoped to step up corruption eradication efforts in the country, the Cabinet Secretariat said in a statement. The instruction is addressed to members of his cabinet, the Cabinet Secretariat, Attorney General, National Police Chiefs, Governors, Regions and Mayors. In the new presidential instruction, the president requires all ministers and other government institutions to coordinate with the National Development Planning Minister, head of the National Development Planning Board, Bappenas, and in their fight against graft. Local administrations have also been ordered to consult with the Home Ministry in their anti-corruption efforts. The Indonesian government through the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry and the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry have liquidated a subsidiary of the state-owned oil company PT Pertamina, Pertamina Energy Trading Limited or Petrol, since Wednesday, May 13. The Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Sudirman Said, told reporters at the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry office in Jakarta on Wednesday that the liquidation of Petrol Group was done to break the chain of bad reputation of the Pertamina subsidiary in the past.
Direksi Pertamina memutuskan dengan approval dari komisaris Petrol sebaiknya.
Pertamina management had decided with the commissioner's approval to dissolve Petrol for two reasons, namely efficiency and break the chain of bad reputation. Pertamina could afterward begin with clean sheet, so all the commotion about Petrol will not continue, and Pertamina could have a chance to rearrange their management. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Minister for State-Owned Enterprises Rini M. Sumarno said that after Petrol was liquidated, the transparent investigation audit will be done to find balances done by the company. There are some things that was emphasized by the president. One of them is audit investigation. So in this liquidation process, there must be a transparent audit investigation and the process should be monitored. If there is violation against law, it has to be processed. So we will continue to communicate with the Pertamina's management and commissioners in this liquidation process. On November 15, 2014, Indonesian President Joko Widodo, through the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, has established an oil and gas governance reform team led by Faisal Basri, which consists of 11 personnel from different backgrounds to do an objective and independent investigation. The Oil and Gas Governance Reform Team has recommended the government to take over Petrol to Pertamina through integrated supply chain. Moreover, if necessary, Pertamina could set a new business entity as the extension of Pertamina in the international market. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro has convinced capital market players that the government is optimistic about Indonesia's growing economy. The minister stated during a discussion with capital market players in Jakarta that the government is trying to boost market confidence, not only to attract foreign investors, but also others. The most important fact is that everybody is optimistic that the Indonesia's economy is potentially growing. The government is taking steps to maintain the economic growth rate at above 5% by increasing revenues from taxes and budget absorption. Meanwhile, President Director of the Indonesian Stock Exchange, Ito Warsito, remarked that capital market players are optimistic that economic growth of 5.4% can be maintained, although the nation registered a growth of 4.7% in the first quarter. The government has allocated 200 trillion rupiahs for infrastructure expenditure. Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, held a business meeting with executives from some 100 Chinese companies to introduce them to the country's investment potentials and its one-stop service to easy investment. Chairman of the BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, told Antara News in Beijing on Thursday that this business forum was the first such one organized by the board. Furthermore, Indonesian Ambassador to China, Sugeng Raharjo, said that considering China's huge investment potential, the country could become the fifth largest investor in Indonesia. Vice President of Bank of China, Chow Ying-shin, noted that the relations between China and Indonesia continued to increase, marked by the recent exchange of visits by the heads of states of both nations. According to Chow Ying-shin, Indonesia was China's biggest trading partner in Southeast Asia, and with its long coastline, its position was very strategic for China's One Belt, One Road project. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, in cooperation with the regional administrations, will organize a roadshow of the Regional Investment Forum in three cities on May 18 to 22. Chairman of BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, noted in a press statement in Jakarta that the roadshow will be held in Medan, North Sumatra, Manado, North Sulawesi, and Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara. The roadshow will include seminars and exhibitions on investment opportunities. Foreign diplomats and potential investors will be among the invitees to the event. The National Investment Coordinating Board will also organize one-on-one meetings for investors during the roadshow. Business delegations from South Korea, Australia, Britain, Singapore, Japan, Taiwan, and the United Arab Emirates and the United States are also expected to attend the meetings. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti, and Industry Minister Saleh Hussein will be among the speakers at the forum. Indonesia has urged the Federation of Cacao Commerce, FCC, to reduce tax on cacao imports from Indonesia to Europe. Indonesia's Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated in London on Thursday that Indonesia is demanding equal treatment. There should be no discrimination against processed cacao products from Indonesia. Tax of about 5-6% is imposed on Indonesian cacao, but no tax is levied on cacao imported from Africa. Kalla is visiting London to attend the FCC conference, scheduled to be held on Friday, and to meet business leaders from the region. However, Indonesia has so far faced difficulties in exporting the commodity to the region due to the imposition of a high import tax. Vice President Yusuf Kalla emphasized that his mission to attend the conference was to increase cacao business in Indonesia so that the commodity can expand its base in the European markets. He stated that Indonesia has huge potential in cacao production, as not many countries in the world have cacao plantations. Starting this year, the Jakarta administrations will require children to receive 5 vaccinations in order to enroll in state elementary schools. Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said the city administration would add the requirement starting this year. The governor told reporters at City Hall on Friday that vaccinations are important, not only for children but also for the city. Therefore, starting this year, Jakarta government will require children to receive basic vaccinations before they enroll in state elementary schools. Health agency head Kusmedi Priharto acknowledged there were many children in Jakarta who did not receive vaccinations due to a lack of knowledge from their parents. Kusmedi added that the agency would issue a vaccination certificate at a district-level health service Puskesmas to children who had received the 5 vaccinations. The certificate, he said, would include the child's name and parent's name and would be sent by a Puskesmas head. Supposedly, education agency head Ari Budiman said the agency was currently preparing to implement the additional requirement into the enrollment system. Well, listener, that was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Illegal Migrants Should Be Immediately Addressed. Almost 2,000 illegal migrants from Bangladesh and ethnic Rohingya in Myanmar on Sunday and Monday were stranded in the coastal region of Blangulumpan, province of Aceh, and in Langkawi, Malaysia. One group of 600 people arrived in Aceh with 4 ships on Sunday, and at the same time, around 1,018 people arrived with 3 ships the resort island of Langkawi, Malaysia. According to one refugee in Aceh, the migrants were abandoned by the smugglers who escaped by climbing to another vessel. For 2 months, they were floating at sea, hungry and thirsty, before being stranded in Aceh. They thought they had reached Malaysia as their main destination. Some activists and authorities warned that thousands of people may remain trapped in crowded vessels. Currently, around 7,000 to 8,000 people are estimated to be detained in a large and small vessel in Malacca Strait and international waters by smugglers. Even though their families had paid a ransom, the migrants might not be released. This was affirmed by Chris Lewa, directress of the Arakan Project, a non-profit organization that has been monitoring the movement of Rohingya for more than 10 years. According to Chris Lewa, the increasing number of migrants was related to Thailand's recent crackdown against human smuggling. She added that the rate of human trafficking syndicate in Thailand and Malaysia has prevented the middlemen to bring the migrants to the mainland. Thailand has long been regarded as a center for human trafficking in Asian region. Last week, Thailand's Prime Minister ordered the cleaning of camps suspected to be smuggler camps after 33 bodies of migrants from Myanmar and Bangladesh were found in the shallow graves in the south of the countries. Dozens of people had been arrested in connection with the camps, including local officials and police officers. Human Rights Watch said the cemetery contains the people who died due to hunger and illness during being detained by smugglers while waiting for payment before they were brought to Malaysia. Malaysia is the main destination of Rohingya refugees. More interestingly, more than 34,000 Rohingya people are registered as refugees by the UN Agency for Refugees, or UNHCR, in the country. Malaysia was praised by many countries because it responded immediately to grant refugee status to the Rohingya boat people. But gradually, the country overwhelmed to face a wave of refugees that triggered various acts of criminality. Indonesia was infected by a wave of Asian refugees who went to Malaysia or Australia. Hundreds of refugee camps were set up in various places, especially in Sumatra. Rohingya refugees come from member countries of ASEAN through ASEAN countries and into another. Therefore, a wave of illegal migrants can be said to be a mutual problem among ASEAN member countries. The leaders of ASEAN countries should sit together to address this epidemic of human trafficking on which, if the problem is not solved together, this will threaten physical security and regional economy. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from May 15, 1940, Germany occupied the Netherlands. On May 15, 1940, after a massive attack, the Nazi army of Germany finally managed to occupy the Netherlands. Before the attack occurred, the German ambassador to the Netherlands delivered a declaration that the German army would come to the Netherlands, and when the Dutch government did not take the fight, Germany will ensure the independence of the Dutch kingdom. However, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands rejected the offer and issued an announcement that the German attack is a violation of international law and asked the people of the Netherlands to fight to defend the homeland. However, when Germany began its attack, the Netherlands was not able to do much, and in just 5 days, the Netherlands was occupied by Germany. Hitler then set up a new Nazism government in the Netherlands. Meanwhile, Queen Wilhelmina and her family fled to England and stayed there until the Allies defeated Nazi. On May 15th, May riot in Indonesia ended. The May 1998 riots of Indonesia were incidents of mass violence of a racial nature that occurred throughout Indonesia, mainly in Medan in the province of North Sumatra, the capital city of Jakarta, and Surabaya, also called Solo, in the province of Central Java. The riots were triggered by economic problems including food shortages and mass unemployment, and eventually led to the resignation of President Suharto and the fall of the New Order government. The main targets of the violence were ethnic Chinese. However, most of the people who died in the riots were the Javanese Indonesian looters who targeted the Chinese shops, not the Chinese themselves, since the looters were burned to death in a massive fire. In the riot, the humanitarian volunteers noted the victims of 1,190 died and 91 others were injured. Listener, we conclude today's edition of Today in History and take you to have a look at another historical event on May 15, 2010. Jessica Watson became the youngest people to do not stop sail around the world alone. Jessica Watson came from Bodarim, northern part of Queensland, who sailed from Sydney on October 18, 2009, although it was responded pessimistically. The young Australian girl then proved her talents in sailing through the ocean. She passed through South Pacific to Cape Horn in South America for 7 months, then sailing Atlantic Ocean to South Africa before passing Indian Ocean and South Australian Ocean. After 7 months of her adventures around the world, Watson then back to Sydney on May 15, 2010. The Australian girl became the youngest sailor in the world. The recognition for the Jessica Watson's achievement is made as 2011 Young Australian of the Year, and next she was inaugurated the Medal of Order of Australia. Listener, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today's Focus is entitled Indonesia-Papua New Guinea Increasing Bilateral Cooperation.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Listener, the governments of Indonesia and Papua New Guinea have agreed to increase bilateral cooperation in the field of economy, investment, and trade. The agreement was reached in a bilateral discussion between President Joko Widodo and the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, Peter O'Neill, in Port Moresby, on Monday, May 11, 2015. President Jokowi, in a press conference with Prime Minister Peter O'Neill at the Parliament Building in Port Moresby, said they agreed in their informal discussion to jointly support trade outside the border market, strengthening the cooperation of investment in an infrastructure, as well as involving private parties in the field of energy, telecommunications, and fisheries. Indonesia also agreed to increase connectivity in cooperation for handling cross-border crime, such as drug abuse and terrorism, and the increasing capacity of human resources on energy. According to President Joko Widodo, at the meeting, the two leaders also agreed to open flight routes between PT Garuda Indonesia Airways and Air New Guinea, connecting Port Moresby Denpasar Jakarta and Port Moresby Singapore Jakarta. According to President Joko Widodo, Indonesia welcomed the agreement of Garuda Indonesia to implement a go-share with Air New Guinea. President Joko Widodo is determined to enhance bilateral cooperation with Papua New Guinea. Jokowi expressed his support for the country, which has successfully improved its economic growth. This achievement is attributed to the leadership of the Prime Minister Peter O'Neill in advancing the country. After the 40 years of friendship between Indonesia and PNG, President Joko Widodo is optimistic that the diplomatic relationship that has been established to this point can be important for the development of public welfare in the two countries. In the sociocultural field, the two leaders agreed to continue to intensify relations between communities of the two states. Concrete cooperation in the field of education would be intensified by awarding scholarships, such as student and faculty exchanges, and cooperation in the field of sport. Related to issues of the region, the two leaders also agreed to continue cooperation between the two countries in various regional and global forums, including APEC, ASEAN, and the UN. Indonesia also expressed its readiness to contribute and assist technically in preparation for Papua New Guinea to assume the chair of APEC in 2018, including the implementation of the APEC Summit Conference. During the visit, President Joko Widodo also held a meeting with Governor General Sir Michael Ogil and Parliament Speaker Hon Teo Zoronok. The president also delivered a speech in front of about 150 Papua New Guinean businessmen and invited the entrepreneurs to take advantage of the opportunities to improve business-to-business cooperation between the two countries. Meanwhile, Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister Peter Charles Pierre O'Neill said Indonesia has an important distinction for his country. In addition to learn from Indonesia, the PNG government hoped there would be increasing cooperation with Indonesia in the various fields. According to Mr. O'Neill, although there have been problems in the past, it is more important that issues can be resolved amicably and disturb both countries' friendly relationship. That was Focus.
Here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, May 15, 2015. I am Dalat Pali. Compass Daily writes, oil governance is guaranteed better. The government and PT Pertamina Persero ensure the governance of oil and gas, especially the procurement of crude oil and fuel oil, would be better. This guarantees following the liquidation of Pertamina Energy Trading, or Petrol, and its subsidiaries. An energy analyst, Pri Agung Rahmanto, said the liquidation of Petrol will make the process of procurement of crude oil and fuel are expected will be better. While the commissioner of Pertamina, Tan Ri Abeng, said efficiency is expected to be better after the liquidation of Petrol. He said one of the challenges of Pertamina in the current global era is creating efficiencies in order to compete. Media Indonesia writes, without petrol, the state could save 5.2 trillion rupiahs. From the whole aspects recommended by oil and gas governance reform team, mostly already in the planning of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources. Director of Pertamina, Sucipto, said, since petrol does not involve in the oil purchasing, Pertamina potential savings could reach $400 million or about 5.2 trillion rupiahs. Business Indonesia Daily writes, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro promised accelerating economic growth. The minister, in a close meeting with market participants of the Indonesia Stock Exchange building, said that the government is trying to reach the target of tax revenue and allocate more rapidly in the second half of this year. Bambang said that the government encouraged investment, primarily through the state budget, state-owned enterprises, and private investment. While on the other hand, Koran Sindo writes, be aware signing contracts with foreign investors. The Indonesian government must be aware of the various provisions of the bilateral investment treaty that have been or will be approved. Do not let various treaties would be a blunder that is detrimental to national interests in the future. According to the executive director of South Center, Martin Kaur, if bilateral investment treaty or BIT prove detrimental to national interests, the government is encouraged to repeal or revise it. Meanwhile, Republika Daily writes, Vatican admits Palestinians. Holy Throne of Vatican reiterated its recognition of the Palestinian state. This step adds to the amount of international support, especially in Europe, after the Swedish government on October 30, 2014, formally recognized the Palestinian state. Vatican's recognition contained in a treaty that was announced on Wednesday and immediately signed by Bilateral Commission of Vatican-Palestine. Vatican spokesman Federico Lombardi said, the Holy Throne is not the first time recognized Palestine, but it has been done a few years ago, especially since the United Nations General Assembly recognized Palestine as an observer state like the Vatican on November 29, 2012. Well, listener, that was the headlines of several newspapers published today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalot Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has issued presidential instructions in press number 7/2015 on corruption eradication. With the new regulation, Jokowi hoped to step up corruption eradication efforts in the country, the Cabinet Secretariat said in a statement. Indonesian government, through the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry and the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, have liquidated a subsidiary of the state-owned oil company PT Pertamina, Pertamina Energy Trading Limited or Petrol, since Wednesday, May 13. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro has convinced capital market players that the government is optimistic about Indonesia's growing economy. The minister stated during a discussion with capital market players in Jakarta that the government is trying to boost market confidence not only to attract foreign investors but also others. Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board held a business meeting with executives from some 100 Chinese companies to introduce them to the country's investment potentials and its one-stop service to easy investment. The National Investment Coordinating Board, in cooperation with the regional administrations, will organize a roadshow of the Regional Investment Forum in three cities on May 18 to 22. Chairman of BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, noted in a press statement in Jakarta that the roots show will be held in Medan, North Sumatra, Manado, North Sulawesi, and Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara. Indonesia has urged the Federation of Cacao Commerce, FCC, to reduce tax on cacao imports from Indonesia to Europe. Indonesia's Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated in London on Thursday that Indonesia is demanding equal treatment. Starting this year, the Jakarta administration will require children to receive 5 vaccinations in order to enroll in state elementary school. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said the city administration would add the requirement starting this year. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions in Indonesia. I'm Dalatwani. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Central Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, the Grand Canyon is a giant canyon in Colorado, United States. The canyon was formed by erosion of the Colorado River's flow since millions of years ago. This was one of the first national parks in the United States. The beauty and uniqueness of the canyon makes a lot of people want to visit it. If in the United States has Grand Canyon in Colorado, in Semarang, Central Java, Indonesia, we can find Brown Canyon. The residents around it used to call Brown Canyon as the Grand Canyon of Semarang. The local residents call it Grand Canyon because there are unique and beautiful cliffs and hollows as those in Grand Canyon in America. The difference is Brown Canyon has no river that flows under a cliff. Brown Canyon is an excavation for development of the city of Semarang. Leaving the pits, hills, and high ground at first glance makes it like a Grand Canyon in the United States. Every day, there are many people visit this place just to take pictures with the background of the hills. In fact, because of its beauty, many people make this location as their place for their pre-wedding photos. There are more people will come to Brown Canyon during the dusk because during this time, the scene then panorama looks so beautiful. Brown Canyon is a true excavation of Project C. It has been more than 10 years. This place becomes the mining of sand, soil, and rocks. Before the canyon was formed, this place had been hills, which has been mined every day, so it forms a unique texture. If you want to come here, it is suggested to come in the morning or evening, because besides of its nice view, in the morning and in the afternoon, the air is not too hot. Since the mining activity is still active, so it is better to come outside the working hours. If you come during the working hours, so do not forget to use a mask or glasses. The condition of roads to this place is quite ugly, dusty and bumpy. Then riding a motorcycle is suggested. Or if you like a challenge, you can use bicycle. And do not forget to bring your supplies when you visit there, because there is no food stalls around the mining area. The beauty of its natural scenery makes Brown Canyon becomes one of the attractions and the best place for lovers of photography. Cliffs towering combined with the presence of trees on the top makes this place a very attractive tourist site to visit. The location is situated in Rowosari Village, Tembalang, Semarang, bordering Pucang Gading, Ranggen, Demak. The distance is about 11 kilometers from the area of Simpang Lima, Semarang City. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Brown Canyon. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic, and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a
segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, Voi listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you International Family Day. Family is the main principle for all men to build a colony. Family is considered important for the sustainability of human on Earth. This what makes the United Nations issued a resolution A/RES/47/237. This resolution reflects the importance of family in the international community. This International Day gives opportunity to raise awareness of family-related issues and improve knowledge on the social, economic, and demographic process which influence people. The resolution issued in 1993 in the UN conference is expected to tighten family relations in the whole world. To celebrate International Family Day, the UN holds a discussion panel on May 15, 2015 in the UN headquarters in New York, the US. This discussion addressed gender equality and children's rights. It is one of ways for the international community to realize that children have the same rights as a human. Likewise, women in a family who often get unfair treatment. It is expected to reduce domestic violence. In Indonesia, few people know the International Family Day, so there is no special event to commemorate the day. Surprisingly, a noted paint company in Indonesia holds family photo contests to commemorate International Family Day. It certainly offers interesting prizes. It may be one of ways to make Indonesian people realize the importance of family. Sometimes people do not realize it because of busy routine. They do not realize it until unexpected things happen. Based on the UN's observation, this International Family Day can be used by the government to raise the awareness of social, economic, and demographic process which influence family. It is only a way to encourage people to respect family more. It is because the most precious treasure is family. Well, Voi listener, that ends today's miscellany on the International Family Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian female dangdut singer, Denada. To begin the program, we play you a song by Denada entitled Kucing Garong. Happy listening.
Oh,
Listener Denada Elizabeth Anggia Ayu Tambunan, who is more known as Denada, is a Batak or North Sumatran singer and actress who was born in Jakarta. Denada is the first child of Rio Tambunan and Emilia Contessa, who were top-notch singers in Indonesia in 1970s. Denada was born in Jakarta December 19, 1978, started her career as a rap singer in 1990s. As her career was rising, he left her career as a rap singer and continued to study in Australia. Well, listener, before we move on, let's listen to a song by Denada called Bisa Gila. Check this one out.
Ada gila, zaman sekarang udah jarang lagi pakai cinta. Aku jadi bingung, bikin jadi linglung. Di mana cinta? Dari kemarin kami coba-coba rayu aku. Dari kemarin aku juga takkan pernah mau. Dulu sampai sekarang, entah sampai kapan.
Listener, after coming back from Australia, Denada started her career again in the national music industry, but with different genre, which is dangdut. Her song successfully led her to win some awards, including from Indonesian Music Awards and MTV Indonesia Awards in 2005. Besides, Denada tries acting world by starring sinetron or soap opera entitled Hari Harimau, Nyari Bini, Rahasia Ilahi, and Cahaya Surga. Her dangdut songs gained success and even got nominated in some music awards. Well, listener, to end the program, here are more songs by Denada entitled Sambutlah and Toel Toel. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another dangdut edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.